Great. Well, we're going to go to Maudrianne Burton now, and she's going to bring the reading to us this morning. It's only a short reading, but Maudrianne.
Good morning, church family. Today I will be reading from the verses John 3, 14 to 16, and Romans 5, verses 8, the New International Version. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5, verses 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Maudrianne. And so those passages from John 3 and Romans 5 are the passages that Gabriel Akinbade is going to concentrate on today. Now, Gabriel, if we can just bring Gabriel up on the screen there in a minute. Hi, Gabriel. Good morning. We can't hear you at the moment, Gabriel. I think you're muted. Let's just unmute you. Yeah. There we go.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you. So, Gabriel, you're a pastor. You had your own church that you pastored in Nigeria, you left there about a year ago to come over here. It's about a year since you were last preaching there. Is that right?
Yes.
And I was just chatting to you this morning, and I was saying that you must be missing preaching.
Indeed.
So it's good to have you this morning. Do you want to just tell us about your family, so that people know your family here?
Okay. My wife is known by Dorcas, some of us are the church. Meloa, she has been a student in Anglia Ruskin University. She is by profession a nurse, and she read years in nursing here. I have my daughter with me, Phoebe, and I have David. Our first daughter is by name Deborah. She is back home in Nigeria. Sorry. That's about my family.
Okay. Thank you, Gabriel. And you're going to share with us this morning, so I'll just hand straight over to you now, and you can bring God's word to us. Thank you.
Good morning, every one of us, the family of the church. I bring to you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. And I want to take this time to express my appreciation to the church, especially to the pastor, Phil, and the leadership team for giving me this opportunity to stand before you, people of God, and to bring the word of God to you. By the grace of God, the topic laid upon my heart to speak upon is responding to God's redemptive love towards humanity. Responding to God's redemptive love of God towards humanity. The message focuses on the recognition and appreciating the expense of God's love towards humanity. And the message shall be discussed under the following four subtopics. Number one, human destructive states. Number two, the need for human redemption. Number three, the cost for human redemption, that is, the expense of God's love to redeem humanity. Number four is how should we respond to God's redemptive law? And this message is based on this text, John chapter 3, verse 16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If God so loved us so much, to the point that he gave his only begotten Son, then how should we as humans respond to this redemptive law? That is the central point and the central message of the topic. Yesterday, at my place of work, I was paired with somebody, a man of about 55 years of age, and he bears Christian name. Noting that he has this Christian name, during our break, we were chatting and we were discussing, and I asked him, "Which church do you attend?" And he said, he is not a religious man. And I have to ask, "Please, what do you mean by saying that you are not a religious man?" And he said, for a long time ago, during his teenage years, he had come to the conclusion that there is no God. I smiled. And later, I asked him, "Who do you think is responsible for this world that we are in?" And he said, "My friend, I have the belief of undoing evolution theory." And I said, "Okay." Then he later asked me this question. And he asked me, and he said, "How do you know that there is God?" That question nearly put me off. And I said, "I know that there is God because I have life. Secondly, I know that there is God because the Bible tells me so. Number three, I know that there is God because by faith, though this God is unseen God, is an invisible God, but yet he is. So by faith, I know that there is God. And fourthly, I know that there is God because there is end to life. And after the end of life, there is also an afterlife." Then he smiled. That was the end of our discussion with him, but I will continue to pray for him. Human destructive states. From somebody who says there is no God, it may be difficult for him to believe in the creation theory. But according to the Bible, we have the record how God created the universe, the world, and the fullness therein, including man. So according to the record that we have in the Bible, everything that God created and the creation was with perfection, including man. But due to the deception of the devil and the disobedience of man to God's instructions, sin entered into the perfect world that God created. And as a result, the image of God in man was destroyed. Death entered into the human history. Man became separated from God's presence, for God cannot condone sin. And man and the woman had to be ushered out of the Garden of Eden. So there was now separation between God and man. And number four, man was subjected to eternal condemnation. We find this in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, wherein we have the record that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The need for human redemption, that is the second point. Before I go on to this, we need to remind of ourselves, for what purpose did God create man? Why God created man? Number one, man was created to be representative of God on earth. He created them male and female in his image. So the fact that God created man in his image suggests that man was created to be God's representatives on earth. Man was also created to be having fellowship and cordial relationship with God. We see this in Genesis chapter 3 from verse 8 to 9, wherein God usually come down at the cool of the day to have interaction with man. So we see that man was created so that there will be cordial relationship between him and God. Man was created so that man will be serving him and be responsible to him. That is, when God created everything in the garden, he handed over them to man so that man will be supervised in the garden and all that God created. So man was created to serve God. Lastly, man was created also to be enjoying the numerous blessings, the various blessings of God and God's provisions in the garden. However, due to the fall of man, all these privileges and opportunities given to man, God destroyed, because there is now separation between God and man. So all these privileges, all these purposes and plans of God concerning man was destroyed by the fall. The cost for human redemption. We see that in this second point, there is need for man to return back to the original image of God. But it can be possible just like that. It needs to be, there need to be a cost. You remember when Adam and Eve were naked, when they saw themselves as that they were naked, God had to protect them or cover their image by the skin of an animal. And God provided a solution to cover their image. So also, spiritually, we need to be covered. Our nakedness needs to be covered. And so there is cost for human redemption. And this cost is the only begotten Son of God. And this is where we have a record in John chapter 3, verse 16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave, that word gave is a cost. It costs God to give, to cover the nakedness, to redeem man back to the to his original image. So God gave his only begotten son. I call this an expense. What cost God to redeem you, to redeem me, to redeem humanity back to himself. Also in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, we have this record that God demonstrated his love by giving us Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Christ gave himself for us. Christ died for us. So we see that. Let me ask, why do you think God will go to that extent by giving up his only begotten son? And I have these two answers, two solutions. Number one is that God himself is love. The nature of God, which is love, prompted him to redeem man back to himself. Number two is the value of the soul of man. The soul of man is so precious and valuable unto God, for he or she was created in his image. However, to deliver man from the destructive state, there is a ransom to pay. So for these two facts, that God is love, that the soul of man is so precious and valuable, made God to offer this cost, which is Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. For he is sinless, he is perfect in all ramifications, and he is the one that is worthy even to redeem man back to God. So the act of grace and goodness towards humanity indeed calls for appropriate response. If God should go to this extent by giving up his only begotten son to redeem us back to himself, and if Jesus himself would demonstrate this love of his Father by being obedient unto God, his Father, by offering himself for the redemption of humanity, how should we respond unto God? Number one, we need to respond unto God by the story of my friend or my colleague whom we worked together yesterday at my place of work. For the starting point of some people is to recognize the fact that there is God. Knowing and accepting that there is God is the starting point of responding to God's law. For somebody who has no belief in God, for someone who says there's no God, he cannot even accept that he is a sinner. He or she will not even accept or take that he needs to be forgiven. So I see that for some people, the starting point is to respond unto God by opening their hearts, by opening their mind to see that there is no one who is responsible for this world that we are in. In fact, Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In Psalm 14, the psalmist says, the fool says, there is no God. Only the fool, according to the Bible, not according to me, but the Bible calls them fool. It's a foolish man who will say, there is no God. How should we respond to this redemptive love of God? We should respond to him by recognizing the fact that we need a Savior. you need a Savior, that you are a sinner who needs to be saved. Another point of reference to responding to this redemptive law is through acceptance of his law. When God offers, then you accept the offer. So we respond to this redemptive love by accepting this great love. Jesus, or the gospel that we read, it was Jesus who says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. The story in the wilderness, you all knew, when there was plague and serpent was destroying the people, biting the people, and God, through the intercession of Moses, God instructed it to make a serpent image and lift it up on a stick, on a staff, that anyone that snake bites and look up to that serpent, he or she will see. And so some people did so, while others refused. So those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We respond to this God's redemptive law through followership. We follow in his steps, living for him daily. That is, after accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, another response is to be following him, to be his disciple, to be his disciples, following in his steps. We respond to this redemptive love through life of dedication unto him who saves us from eternal destruction. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 downwards, brethren, I beseech you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. We respond to this redemptive love of God through life of appreciation and extension of sharing of his love unto others. So, appreciating him, showing him that you love him, showing him that you know the meaning and the worth of this redemptive law that he showed unto you in order to redeem you, in order to save you from eternal condemnation. In our Bible study last week, on Wednesday, our facilitator led us through this study in Romans chapter 9, wherein in the beginning, the opening verse says, but now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So I invite you to have a response, an appropriate response to this eternal love of God, wherein there be no condemnation for those who are in Christ. The message presents before us the reality of God's expectation, his redemptive love for the salvation of humanity, and the need to appropriately respond to this great and amazing love of God. Appropriate response to this great love of God is very, very important because, one, it involves grace, mercy, and love of God to save humanity. It is also important because it cost God his only begotten Son to establish. It is also important that the blessings of eternal life is attached to it, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This invitation is to all people across the globe, across the world, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of educational background, regardless of worldly attainment. It is to everybody, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you responded to this great and redemptive love of Christ? If not yet, you can use this time to make a commitment unto him by surrendering your life unto him, by acknowledging the fact that there is God, only one God, who is responsible for this world. And this God is God of love, who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I invite you to commit yourself unto him by becoming one of his followers. Follow him in his steps. I invite you to make a commitment of serving him with your acceptable services and gifts, your spiritual gifts. I also invite you to make a commitment today by appreciating his love, by sharing the love of Christ with others. And as you do so, the Lord bless you. If you have already accepted this great offer of God's redemption through Christ, I invite you, or I enjoin you, to continue moving with Christ. And the Lord will continue to bless your life in the name of Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you. Lord, we acknowledge the fact that you are God, who loves us so much, to the point of sending Christ unto us to deliver us from eternal condemnation. Thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you bless your people, even as we continue to ruminate, thinking and reflect upon this your word. May the power of your spirit continue to speak and illumine our minds, so that we continue to respond unto your love. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gabriel, for sharing with us again the wonder of the gospel, and so passionately and clearly communicating with us all that that means, how important it is, and how we need to be responding to it